Are you ready? It's a question I want to ask you this evening. Are you ready? It's a question that we hear in many aspects of life. And if someone just came up to you on the street and asked, "Are you ready?" you'd be wondering what he's asking if you're ready for. And many times that might be something that might scare us, that might trouble us. Are we ready? I don't know. What are you asking me what I'm ready for? As a Christian, we have to be ready for certain things. We have to be ready to hear. I want to talk about that first and foremost this evening. Are you ready to hear? Hear what? Are you ready to hear the Word? Are you ready to hear Christ? Are you ready to hear what you need to hear in order to obtain eternal life in heaven? We know there are different types of hearing. And there are things that we are to hear, ways in which we are to hear that are acceptable to God, that are profitable to us, and there are ways that are going to be destructive in our hearing. There is selective hearing. You hear what you want, and you don't hear what you don't want to hear. It goes through your ear and out the other. There is lustful hearing, hearing those things which are according to the flesh, and looking after hearing those things, wanting to hear these terrible things of the flesh. There are, of course, righteous hearing. Hearing everything and taking that into consideration and applying it if it need applying in your life. We know in Acts chapter 17, there is a hearing that we see here that we should want to attain. We want to hear like the Bereans. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the scripture talks about the Bereans, and it categorizes them in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. What does this mean? They received the word with all readiness. When you came to church this morning and you sat in assembly, were you ready to hear the message? Were you ready to hear the words and the songs we sing? And were you ready to accept them? Were you ready to hear something that contradicts Scripture and then turn to the Scripture that tells us it is contradictory and teach that to the person who taught it? Are you ready to defend and contend for the faith? Are you ready to hear? The Bereans were ready in that they were willing to receive whatever Paul and Silas had to teach them. They were ready to accept it, and if it needed to be applied to their lives, they were going to do it. We know that many of them believed and they were baptized, and as a matter of fact, they followed them and followed Christ's teachings in that. They were ready to hear. It said they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Are you ready to do this? Are you able to do this? Are you willing to do this? Are you ready to hear? James 1 and verse 19 says that, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." We see that the message has the power to save us, but we must be willing to hear it. You cannot have closed ears within the service. You cannot have closed ears if you are wanting to go to heaven. You have to be ready to hear. We have to be ready to hear the Word of God. We have to be ready to hear Christ. In Matthew chapter 17, if you want to turn there. Matthew chapter 17. In verse 1, we see that after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, Moses, and Elijah." But while he was still speaking, behold, in verse 5, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came down out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And so we have the object of hearing. We have to hear Christ and his words. There were those who were holding on to the old covenant. They were listening more to those who were the prophets. They were listening to Moses and his law. There are people that hold to that today. There are people that want to hear stories in the pulpit. There are people that want to hear things that tickle their ears. Are you ready to hear Christ? whatever it is that he has to say, whatever we read, oftentimes the Bible is printed with the words of Christ in red. You see those red words, it tells you to do something. It tells you to abstain from something. Are you ready to hear it and act upon it? We need to be ready to hear Christ, and only him are we able to hear. In John 6 and verse 63 says, "The Spirit who gives life, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So many times people show up to services and they're closed-eared. They do not want to hear the word. They do not have any interest in what it is to say. Some people just come for the singing. Some people come for the social aspect of it. Some people come just to please others. They're not ready to hear the word. The word has life. Why would we be refusing to hear what gives us life? We need to be ready to hear this. We need to be ready to accept it. We need to be ready to hear the word. Luke chapter 11. You want to turn there. Luke chapter 11. And in verse 28, we see that blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus says this himself. He says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God, and not only hearing the word of God, but they keep the word of God." You need to be ready not only to hear the word, but to act upon it. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have access into God's grace through faith. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. We need to be ready to hear the word. We need to be ready to act upon it. Who is the word? What is the word? In John chapter 1, we read exactly the answer to that. John 1. And beginning in verse 1, John starts his gospel different than those Matthew and Mark and Luke. He says, "In the beginning," he goes all the way back to Genesis, before time even began, before there was any creation. And we see that in John 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shines in the dark places, and the darkness did not comprehend it." We read later on that the Word became flesh. This Word that it is talking about is Jesus. He has always been, he will always be. He has no beginning, he has no end. He is the Word in the flesh. And the life that comes from hearing him can only come if we obey what we hear. We need to hear the word. We need to be able to accept whatever it is that we hear that comes from the word of God. We need to be ready to see if it is from the word of God. We need to be ready to defend the scriptures. Are you ready to hear? And then are you ready to preach the gospel? This is part of acting upon that hearing. Are you ready to preach the gospel? In Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, Paul says, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" We know that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Once we hear this word, are we ashamed to proclaim it? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you learned enough in the scriptures to where someone walks up to you on the street? We have a sign out there that has a quote from Jesus. If they come up to you and say, "Who is this Jesus? What is he talking about? What does this mean to you? Why are you so enamored with this Jesus whom you have a quote from on your sign?" Are you willing to preach Jesus to them? Are you willing to preach the gospel? And more importantly, are you ready to preach the gospel? We come here every Sunday morning. We come here on Wednesday nights. We come here on Sunday nights. We have a lesson preached. We go through Bible classes. We hear songs that teach us values from the Word of God. But are you ready to proclaim that to someone else? I love what Paul says here in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. "He is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Why would you not want to proclaim this to someone? We understand that in our lives we have different opportunities that are arising throughout our day-to-day life to teach others the gospel. How many times do we refuse that? We just let it roll off our backs. Perhaps they don't even know that you are a Christian. You hear overhear something, you hear someone asking about something, and you don't want to waste your time on it. You have other things to do. You ready to preach the gospel? You know, a preacher is not the only one that has the responsibility of preaching the gospel. That great commission was to the disciples, those who follow him. Are you ready to preach the gospel? The gospel has the power to save, but it cannot save those who have not heard it. We go over to Romans, the 10th chapter, and we read a little bit about this. That whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and verse 13. What a beautiful verse. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a simple principle. You appeal to him on whatever he says and you obey it, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. But verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Why are those feet beautiful? Because they're doing something that can save a soul. That's the importance of preaching. Are you ready to preach the gospel? Do you have the mindset and the willingness and the love for your fellow man to preach the gospel? We must all have that desire and that ability. It reminds me of a song, The World's Bible. Listen to these lyrics. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel, and we are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other things than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his life would spurn? How can we hope to help him and welcome his return? What an important thing it is to preach the gospel. Are we worrying about other things in our life? Things that are fleeting and passing by. Our life is but a vapor. And there are many souls out there who are dead in sin and in need of a preacher. There are not very many preachers that have that occupation. That's why it's necessary for each and every one of us as Christian to take up that responsibility as an important thing in our life, as a priority above all else. Bring others to Christ. Are you ready to preach the gospel? So we hear the word. We must spread the word. And in effect of hearing that word and doing it and proclaiming the gospel and being that Christian we should be, are you ready to die? It's a question that's scary. It's very ominous. You do not want to think about your life coming to an end. A young man does not think that anything can cut him down. He's like Superman. He's invincible until something happens. In the blink of an eye, his life is taken from him. Are you ready to die? We know that death is an inevitable thing. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 proclaims that as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We only have one life. We don't have nine lives. We have to be ready to die. We know that ever since the sin of Adam, where he ate of that tree of knowledge and good and evil, they were cast out of that Garden of Eden. They had no longer access to the tree of life. And then came about physical death. It's going to happen to each and every one of us. The only people that will not die are those who are alive when the Lord comes again. Are you ready to die? If you want to turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. This verse is oftentimes taken out of context. The sentiment when they preach about this verse or read this verse is right. We need to be ready and we need to live our life as a faithful Christian so that when we eventually die of old age, we can say we have that hope of eternal life in heaven. But it goes even further and deeper than this. Are you ready to die in the blink of an eye? Something unnatural. Perhaps you get in a car accident when we leave this place. God forbid. Are you ready for that? You ready for your life to come to an end? We see in Revelation 2 and verse 10 that Jesus says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. This is persecution. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. You will have tribulation 10 days. Notice this, be faithful until death. I will give you the crown of life. That's a command. Be faithful unto death. If the gospel of Christ and proclaiming it and contending for it and standing up for it leads to death, someone takes your life because you are standing up for Christ, He will give you the crown of life. What if you reject that? What if you leave this place? We are invaded perhaps, and we have no longer that freedom of speech, that freedom of religion. Someone points a gun to your head and says, confess Christ, and I'm going to take your life. What are you going to do? Are you going to deny that Christ is your Savior? That He is God in the flesh? And that He is going to come again? I pray and hope not. Are you ready to die for the cause of Christ? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and beginning in verse 6, Paul is a great example of being ready for Christ's coming. He's a great example of being ready to die. He talks to Timothy and writes to him in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. He says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Did you know that we can be completely 100% confident that if we die today, or if Christ comes tonight, we're going to live in heaven with Him for eternity? If you have any doubt in your mind, there's probably something wrong. Are you ready to die? Paul knew. Paul understood. And Paul was looking forward to that day when he passed from this life and he went to heaven. And he got to be in Abraham's bosom for rest until that day of judgment. Are you ready to die? But then there is another side of things. Are you ready for the coming of Christ? Because there are two things. Either we are going to pass from this life, and then others are going to live on until that day of judgment, or the day of judgment will be in our time. And it very well could be. Are you ready for the coming of Christ? If you would turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Beginning in verse 36, we read of a warning that no one knows when Christ is going to come again. It is an unknown. No one will ever know. We see the predictions of man. He is going to come here because we've done all these different math problems and set up these different events in history, and we see different signs that are pointing to His coming at this specific date and time. Every one of them has failed. They will always fail because He's going to come when we have no idea that He is coming. In verse 36 of Matthew 24, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had come, what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We talked about Noah and his ark this morning. All of those people, they were preached to. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That act and that character that was prevalent in Jesus' life. He was a righteous man. Noah preached this to those people that were lost in the world. Within that 120 years that the ark was being built, it didn't just get built overnight. This thing took time. Noah was preaching righteousness. He was preaching what they needed to hear to be saved. They laughed at it. They were not ready to hear. They thought they might be ready to die, but they were in fact not. It came to them like this. And before they knew it, they were gasping for air and there wasn't any there. The same is for us, that He will come as a thief in the night. And just as a person whose house is being broken into, they do not know. They cannot be completely prepared. we can be prepared. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know what time of day, what week it will be, what time of year it will be, but we know he is coming. We know what we need to do to be prepared. Are you ready for him to come? Mark 13, verse 32 says that, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Not even the angels in heaven. The angels who are up there with him right now, they don't know when he's going to come. No one can warn you about this. What we have is the warning that is set in Scripture. Are you ready for Christ to come? And if he does not come before you die, are you ready to die? It's a serious question we all need to ask ourselves. So are you ready? You want to turn to Matthew chapter 25. We'll close our lesson with Matthew chapter 25. Being ready is something that is so important in our lives as Christians, as people. If you have not been baptized, you are not ready. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you are not ready. If you have unrepentant sins and you are in that sin, if you are negligent to your spiritual life and well-being, you are not ready. You die tonight, the latter end will be worse for you, and you will wish you had never been born, and it's not going to be something you can redo. You need to be ready. Let us see here who is ready when, in verse 25, Matthew 25, Jesus gives this parable of those wise and foolish virgins. "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered and said, 'No, lest they should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" Verse 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Are you going to be ready? Are you ready to die? Are you ready for the Lord to come? Just like those virgins, those foolish virgins, they knocked on the door. They pleaded, "Let me in." Lord said, "I don't know you." You want to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and he proclaims that sad message to you, that "I do not know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Because if you have not obeyed the gospel, that's going to happen. If you are unrepentant of sins and you are in a sinful state, that is going to happen. We don't know when he's going to come. We don't have that luxury. What we do have is the luxury of knowing exactly what we need to do in order that when he does come, we have lived a life that is pleasing enough to him, where he calls us righteous through his Son and his sacrifice, and we have that hope of heaven. And we know we'll spend eternity with him. Are you ready? Is the question tonight. If you have not been baptized, don't leave this place without doing so. Prepare yourself for that day where you meet your demise or where the Lord comes. Be ready. Be able to answer that question, "Are you ready?" with "Yes, I'm as ready as I'll ever be. I'm so ready." I hope you can all say that tonight. If not, I hope and pray that something will click. Something will prick your heart and bring you to this knowledge of the truth. And you will act upon that statement to arise and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you have been baptized, you need to continue living a faithful life. And if indeed so, you have fallen short, you have some sin in your life, you need to go to the Lord in prayer. You need to ask him for forgiveness. He will forgive you if you are repentant of that sin. If you have any spiritual need, come forward. We can assist you while we stand and sing the song of invitation.